Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. My name's Viata, and tonight we're going to party, but not like it's 1999, but like it's 2016, because we are in the present, remembering Prince, the musician, the genius musician. And the show tonight is about spiritual lessons from the life of Prince. There are so many light lessons from this one human being's journey on this earth that they're too numerous to count. But I'm going to just try and deal with a few. Because even as the words of that song indicated, it's like he says, so if I've got to die, I'm going to listen to my body tonight. For the first time in many years, I'm listening to the words of the song that this man wrote. Prince, in my opinion, and many other individuals' opinions, was a genius when it came to music. He learned how to play instruments on his own, no private lessons to speak of. And the man influenced thousands, if not millions, of people with his music. The words to that one song that I just played, Party Like It's 1999, are so relevant to us even today, because he says life is just a party and parties weren't meant to last. Did we get that? Parties were not meant to last. And war is all around us. My mind says prepare to fight. That's what we are up against every day, the war mentality of our society, of our earth, says it's time to fight, prepare to fight. And so he says, so if I've got to die, I'm going to listen to my body tonight. And that's really kind of the sad part of it all, because we're not really listening to our body. So we're going to go into a few of the lessons from the life of Prince. But before we get into that, I want to just give all my listeners an update. I have finally moved into my 160-square-foot house. It's called a tiny house on wheels, a THOW. And this has been one hell of an adventure. It's not over yet. In fact, I think it's just beginning, because I had said to my friends, I'm going to write an ebook on tiny house living. And the first chapter will be titled, I've Decided, Downsizing is a Bitch. Yes, you heard me. Downsizing is a bitch. Because at my age, I'm 61 years old, and moving into 160 square space is almost trying to move 60 years of your life into that space, 60 years of attachment into a small space, especially when you've lived in 2,600 square feet for over 20 years, and then you kind of downsize into 900 square feet. And then moving into 160 square feet, I'm just grateful that the landowner prepared a shed for me to store some of the stuff I could not let go of. And that's really what it is, stuff. Because as I sit here in my small space, I realize a lot of the things that I have here are not even needed, but I want to bring them for comfort. They remind me of my parents or my sisters or my friends or whatever. And a lot of even the food, I have a small refrigerator, and I went shopping at Whole Foods before I drove here to my new house. And the refrigerator is now packed. I cannot buy one more item because it won't fit in the refrigerator. And so these are some of the adjustments that I'm making and that this year, hopefully. Because if you're even thinking about moving into a tiny house on wheels, and it's a big movement now in this world we live in, people are considering it and doing it all over the planet. But don't even get serious about it if you're not ready to detach from your stuff and really think about letting go of things in your life that have no use or value to you as far as doing what you've been called to do here on this earth. So with that, I just wanted to bring you up to date. I'm very grateful for the environment I'm in, lots of birds and trees and open land, horses next door. A beautiful natural spring lake is just down the hill from me, and so I can't wait to get into that. So it's very different from living in a overcrowded, in my opinion, condominium complex where you have over 100 people packed into one space and on top of each other and next to each other. And so I'm going to really enjoy this space I have. And once the downsizing is complete and I can realize who I really am in this space that I'm in, I'm going to be breathing better, living better, and harmonizing with nature better. So with that said, let me get into some of the spiritual lessons from the life of Prince, this amazing individual who made us smile, who made us dance, who made us laugh over the years. He was born in 1958, so he was only 3 years younger than me. 3 years, he was a baby boomer. And I want to give you a few scriptures tonight because my foundation, my belief is the metaphoric meanings and realities of scripture are important these days if we want to walk in wisdom and understanding. And so the first scripture I'd like to share with you is Ecclesiastes 7:1. For those of you who were Prince fans, and if you're still grieving, don't take it too hard at this point. I'm sure there are many who've gotten over it and they thankful for the music. But the scriptures like Ecclesiastes 7 verses 1 and 2, I think, give us some perspective on what this journey is really about. And I always go to this chapter when someone of prominence or importance dies in the earth because it reminds us the higher overstanding perspective we should have on anyone's death. And so Ecclesiastes 7 and 1 says, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That seems like such a strange scripture. The day of our death should basically be celebrated more than the day of our birth, but we're opposite. We are totally opposite on that belief. We celebrate birthdays every year, and when death comes, it's rare that people actually celebrate. They grieve that person. So the scriptures are meant to guide us and help us have a higher perspective. And that scripture goes on to say, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. That is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. So tonight we're taking to heart the departure of our amazing Prince musician. And He said most of his life he loved to party. In fact, if you read any of the magazines and listen to any of the interviews, the man would party after even a given an hour and a half, 2 hour performance. Afterward, the after party was even more amazing, they say, than the original performance that he gave. So here was a man who loved to party, even though the scriptures tell us that it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. So we have to believe that the prince that we knew had an assignment. My sister, Mama Evie, always reminds us that we all have an assignment. And someone sent me something today saying we weren't meant to parade our tushes on stage. We're meant to do higher things. And I believe that most of us have a higher or a different purpose than that, than to do what Prince did. But Prince had an amazing special assignment. I give you my perspective on Prince before he came to this earth. Before Prince came to this earth, the Creator had a discussion with him. And that's from the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, Chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So when I think about Prince, this amazing musician, I think about a little discussion that he had with the Creator, Yahuwah. And it might go something like this. Prince, my star. Yes, he was a star even before he went into his mother's womb. In fact, we all are. We all come from a star up there. And so the conversation, I imagine, went something like this. Prince, you're going to enter your mother's womb, and you're going to experience some unusual relationships when you're born. After you come out of your mother's womb, you're going to have epilepsy, but we're going to remind you of our agreement here that you're not going to have it for long. You're going to get over that epilepsy. In fact, an angel's going to come to you and tell you that you're not going to have epilepsy at some point anymore, and you're going to believe them, and you're going to be a pretty healthy young man most of your life. And you're going to learn how to play musical instruments. We're going to guide you and teach you and learning how to bring beauty to the earth with your music. And that was the one thing that Prince wanted to be remembered by, was his music. That was, of all the things, he wanted people to remember his music. And so the heavenly conversation was directing him, preparing him to be a musician. Now, he was only 5 feet two. So the Creator may or may not have prepared him to accept his 5 feet two position, or not. We don't know that part, but we do know that for most of his entertaining career, Prince wore high heel shoes. And one of the musicians who worked with him, I think it was Sheila E., believed that that may have been one of the reasons he had hip problems and that he was in pain a great deal of the time when he was on stage or in his lifetime. So the high heel shoes, being 5'2", it sort of reminds us that many of us deal with what we think are inadequacies or shyness or insecurities by looking outside of ourselves with high heel shoes, perhaps, instead, and then ruining our feet and maybe our hips in the process. Because who would have thought, as one person said in an interview, I think it was Sheila E., I listened to several interviews with Sheila E., the drummer, she said he was in pain all the time, and no one would have known it would have bothered him years later, the fact that he had hip problems and he was jumping off these risers in these high heel shoes, boots, whatever. So we look at the life of Prince and we're kind of amazed, but we should all be taking it to heart at this point. It's such a beautiful story. It's such a beautiful journey that this man had, decorating his body with flamboyant clothing, with live colors, purple, pink. Even some men called him pretty. He was a pretty man. And even with that prettiness, we never heard of any homosexual activity or anything like that. He had several women in his life, but he still was a little shy and insecure. So it's very possible that that's what led him to the high heel shoes and then eventually the painkillers. We know at this point that Prince had to use painkillers to get through this thing called life. He wrote a song about it, Let's Go Crazy. We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. And what did Prince have to use to get through this thing called life? Well, from what we can guess and what we know so far, Prince probably had to use quite a few painkillers in the last part of his life, because he was in pain all the time because of the choices he made. So as part of his assignment, I believe, this was necessary for us to learn the lessons today about this beautiful soul. He was a beautiful soul. And what he forgot, though, when he joined the Jehovah's Witness, he joined the rest of the religious crowd that ignores wisdom many times in the area of listening to the body, because most of us do not listen to the body, even though one of his songs actually says that I'm going to listen to my body tonight. The words to that song I just played, words to 1999, he says, life is just a party and parties weren't meant to last. War is all around us. My mind says prepare to fight. So if I gotta die, I'm gonna listen to my body tonight. Let's go crazy or let's party. So I'm gonna suggest to you tonight that when you listen to religious voices, no matter what the denomination, he happened to be a part of Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness have quite a few restrictions about for their members. They can't give their blood, or they can't receive blood from others, and their life, they don't celebrate birthdays, which is probably something good. And if you look at the scriptures, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. So we're supposed to celebrate death more than our birth. So all the rules and restrictions with Jehovah's Witness, they forgot a few or one important scripture. As most preachers and religions don't like to talk about. And that scripture is found in Revelation 18:23. You don't hear many sermons on this part of the Bible because it's something that everyone is probably violating in the church, or most people in the church system, denomination system, are probably violating this. And so let me just read part of Revelations 18:23, which says, merchants were the great men of the earth, and by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And so this came to me when I learned, the more I learned about Prince and his choices to deal with his pain, and for most people, to deal with the pain, we turn to pharmakeia, sorcery. Sorcery in the Greek is called pharmakeia. And so we're all brought up to ignore that scripture. If you were raised as a Christian, you ignore Revelations 18:23, because that's talking about medical doctors' prescriptions and the pharmaceutical company's idea of helping you get well. That's why all the nations are deceived now. This is a reality. This is something I have been reading about, listening to for over 20 years now, the practices of the merchants who were the great men of the earth. The merchants were the great men of the earth. They're talking about pretty much the pharmaceutical industry, because these men, and they're probably mostly men, who are lobbying in our government to promote sorcery. This is called sorcery in the Bible. It's called pharmakeia in Greek. And this, unfortunately, is what our dear beloved Prince got wrapped up in, I'm sure. Because Prince, like most popular musicians or entertainers, are usually addicted to pain medication. One area that I discovered particularly is caught up in this activity or these choices, this deceptive practice, as the scriptures tell us, is football. Most football players are drug addicts. They cannot entertain us on that football field without pain medications. Why? Because they're not listening to their body. Unfortunately, what the words that Prince wrote, I'm going to listen to my body tonight, was something in his mind that he was probably fighting with, because he said war is all around us. And the war that is all around us is our society that says bacteria are your enemies, microbes are your enemies, we need antibiotics to kill them, even though we have trillions of these families of microbes in our body to help us. We have the mind that the drug war mentality, that we must have a drug to fight these terrible bacteria and microbes. And we need a drug to even fight our pain. I can imagine that every day that Prince woke up and faced himself in the mirror with the pain that he was suffering, that he was at war with himself. He was at war with his belief in the Bible. He actually pulled out a Bible at one time. I listened to an interview of a man who was doing a documentary, and Prince pulled out a Bible out of his back pocket to talk about his faith and his belief to a crowd of people. So we know that Prince had a belief system that was partially in the scriptures and the Bible. And we know that probably he was at war with the idea that he had pain in his body and he had to perform in front of thousands of people at various times. And how was he to do that without taking medication prescribed by doctors, created by merchants of the earth, to relieve the pain but not heal the cause of the pain? So what's the cause of the pain? Some of the spiritual lessons we can learn from Prince is that when we do listen to our body, I mean truly listen to our body, and go within to the kingdom within us, the cosmos within us, and ask our body, what should I do about this pain? We can find answers. And that's something when you're a superstar like Prince, or when you're a super athlete like some of these NFL players, you don't want to hear what your body is saying to you. Because what the body is saying to those people who really want to hear from the body is, stop doing what you're doing. Stop the emotions that are creating the pain. the war in your mind that says, I've got to perform because I need the money. I need to make money. I have charities I need to contribute to. I have these things I need to do with my life. I want to do these. I want to help people. That's the one of the dilemmas of a lot of athletes, especially football players, is they want to help people. They want to help people. The industry merchants of the earth who are promoting their causes of entertain me, whether it's football or singing or whatever, they're promoting an agenda that wants to make money off of your gifts, your talent, almost like slavery. And the interesting thing, the lesson we can learn from Prince is that he did have a real battle going on. He wanted to come out of the slavery from the musical industry, the merchants, the men who were trying to control him and treat him like a slave. And we can learn from those things that Prince battled with. We can learn that there are different choices. But the choices we make may not be as lucrative. The choices we make are not going to give us a big house with a big car and a private jet and all the slaves working for us or all the people working for us and choices to do pretty much what we want to do within limits. These are the choices we have to consider if we don't want to end up dead in an elevator from all the pressure or the pain of living as a superstar. You know, one of the songs that he wrote talks about an elevator, dying on the elevator, or let's go crazy. Don't let the elevator bring us down. Oh, no, let's go crazy with life. And one guy was interviewed on a morning show and said he thought it was kind of spooky when he thought about the fact that Prince believed elevators were demonic or the devil, and for him to have died in an elevator. There's even a very weird Simpson animated cartoon that depicts Homer. Homer was, if you know anything about The Simpsons, the show that was very popular, I never watched it. I never liked the show. It was weird to me, and I didn't like the humor at all. But someone posted on Facebook a animated cartoon of Homer Simpson killing Prince. And how do you know he was killing Prince? Because that symbol that Prince used all over his material, his clothing, was used, and they had an animated figure of Prince sitting in a chair, and Homer came behind him and stabbed him with an instrument and killed him. So, of course, the rumors are that Prince talked a lot about chemtrails. He talked about the Illuminati, and so this may be one of the reasons that people are saying he may have been murdered. But here's the real overstanding that we can get from that is when you're a superstar and you put yourself out there and you speak your truth in the moments that you have the opportunity to speak your truth, there are always going to be people out there in this earth at this time who may not want you to speak your truth and who may want to hush your voice. So that's always a possibility in these circumstances where an entertainer dies at 57 years old. And when we don't exactly understand the reasons totally yet, of course, we haven't seen any toxicology reports. But I can say almost for sure Percocet, which is a painkiller, and that's been confirmed pretty much that he was taking painkillers, that it weakens the body. The side effects for Percocet, this narcotic, are numerous. And if anyone takes that drug for a long period of time, they're going to have a weakened body and maybe mind and even spirit maybe. So we can say that Prince, the superstar, the amazing soul, had an assignment to walk this earth, dance through this earth, help us dance through the earth, help us laugh, help us smile, and help us take our minds off of war for a brief time so that we could go crazy with him, this beautiful man soul who has now finished his assignment and is now in another place. I don't want to say Prince has died because his life goes on. I believe his life is on, going on, and he has a new assignment now, maybe to watch over us and help us continue to dance and sing through this life, because that's what he did so beautifully. And beside, despite all the choices he made, I think we can really be grateful for his assignment to help wake us up. That's what it was all about, to wake us up from the music and now to dance and make better choices and not let the war be all around us preparing to fight, but listening to our body. He said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to listen to my body tonight. Let those words be with us, not just tonight, but going forward. Prince, the beautiful soul, the musician, the creative master, the dancer, the flamboyant man, he says, I'm going to die in the flesh because I didn't listen to my body, but I want you to not die, but to live and listen to your body. So those are a few words that I've come up with. Let me open the mic. I believe my sister, Mama AG, are you on the road tonight? How are you?
Greetings, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I'm just grateful to be on this side of the dirt. They're coming in and out. I'm on a very interesting journey, and it's wow, this is deep. I'm listening to you talk about part of Prince's life. And they used to call me Amel DeMarcos because I had a walk-in closet. I'm going to get to the point, sister, and I forgot. I'm so tired. I haven't been asleep in 3 days. I've been powwowing. I know you're doing good. You and your little teeny weeny house and experiencing a new chapter in your life. And so I'm just overjoyed, sister, for you. But now getting back to the point, I mean, you know, I've had hip issues. I came to the planet with hip issues. That's why I've had 33 surgeries is like the Tuskegee experiment, them experimenting with my hip. And I mean, I'm just blown away. I'm not a follower of Prince. I mean, I like some of his music, but I'm not a diehard fan. And this bit of, you know, this portion of his life is like a portion of my life. You know, sister, I used to party a lot. And I mean, you name it, every Air Force base, every military installation, I was there, and high heel sneakers, and had hip issues. And looking at this, and I wasn't on drugs or anything, I couldn't tolerate a lot of alcohol. You know, seriously, I couldn't. I had to stay sane, stable. And anyway, I'm listening to you, sister, and I'm like, dang, that's what happened to me. And all of those shoes I wore, and Sheila E. is right, she has to be, because I'm dealing with this too. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm cute and going to the disco every night and, you know, to the base and just partying all night long on the dance floor. When I came in the door, everybody stopped. And we turned the club out, and it was dancing in those high heel shoes, those platforms. And now you tell me, Prince, you know, this is just ironic, and you have to listen to your body. I'm just blown away of this information that you're sharing, sister, because right now I'm in a truck experiencing a most spiritual journey. and I'll tell you about that on Wednesday. But I'm blown away, and it is a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain. I'm always in pain. No matter what. I went to the sweat lodge last night because of it, and I'm very grateful. I'm feeling much better today. However, that doesn't solve the issue, and you know I'm dealing with it as that I can. But we have to stop. We have to listen to our bodies. However, sister, I want to say something. Prince had an agreement with the Most High. Everything that he went through was all an agreement. All the drugs, all of this.
Absolutely.
Him being a little person, a 5'2". If you analyze his birthday or his earth day and all of that, and the elevator, he may in one part of his life. Believed that it was witch or hoodoo or demonic. There was another part of him that was believing that him making his transition in the elevator was taking him back to his source. And that's why he was in that elevator. I mean, I'm telling you, everything is numerology. Everything, sister. I mean, you know, even to my name, I ask for my name. It's not Mama AZ. It's Robert. Robert Lee Paris. When you analyze and get the life, the number path of those names, it's off the chain. When you analyze, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, and I see that. Working with the mineral people, the godfathers, and the earth, you know, that, it just like Prince. All of his numbers added up to what he did in his life. The beginning or the dawning and the sun setting. And anyone who knows about numbers and numerology, they can tell you. Even to his position of wanting to get his name back on his music. Didn't it take him 19 years? I'm not clear on that or something. I think that's what somebody said. And clarify me if I'm incorrect. But even the 19 is a sacred number. Even the 19 is a sacred number. Period. And so there are so many mile markers that we must pay attention to, not just our bodies. You see, we have these experiences because all of it is to get us back. And I'd like to emphasize, and I've learned so much. Confirmation from the teacher, the channeler, Kryon. Many things that he says to me, even more than Matt Kahn, it's just, it so resonates with my overstanding, even as a little child. And when my mother would say, "You're really not mine. You were sent to me. I didn't think that you were supposed, I was going to have a child. However, they gave you to me for a special assignment. And I'm like, what? Like, what in the world she's talking about? And many times, sister, I've had the opportunity now since I'm over here in Arizona at Vanilla Bright's World, or right here now at the homeless shelter. I'm serious. I'll talk about that Wednesday. I'm thinking, I'm like, whoa, man, out of all the alcohol that my parents came to the planet with, after all of the situations they had me set up to be molested, this, that, and the other, it was for a purpose. It went down to the nth degree, getting back to Prince. Part of him already knew. He had other pieces of him on the other side of that veil that knew that the reason that he chose to be 5'2". He could have been 5'1", 5'1" and 6", working for humanity without monetary gain. He chose 5'2", 5'7". I mean, 5'2" is 7". That's spiritual. His music, him, period. You know? And even though some of the medication did deteriorate his body, I deal with that all the time. Okay? However, we know there are other parts of us on the other side assisting in our higher growth. How old was Prince when he left the building? I think he was, what, 57?
57. He was 57. That's a 3.
That's right. The Trinity, trying to figure this out. What the hell? You know, what's the purpose of all of this? But it goes deeper than that. And it's interesting that he left at that particular age.
Yeah, because of course.
That's right. He's right back. He's right back. He has taken someone else, another body. I know. I don't know how I know. I know that I know. And parts of him are still here as well, guiding and working with the other people who are still here in a physical body. And one of those people that he is definitely with is Sheila A.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't, I don't know that girl, that sister, or whatever. All I know is from the experiences that I've been able to have, especially here in Arizona, and see things. So you can either push it aside, it really doesn't matter, you know, because when we leave the building, all parts of us are not gone. When we come, all parts of us are not coming with us. And we have people who we interact with on this planet that parts of them are on the other side working those parts that are left with these juju heads over here who are giving us issues. However, it's all a part of pulling the onion layers away, and our test is to take breath, if you can, in which sometimes I get all excited and I might cuss you out, but, you know, what good does it do? Just to, you know, because it's all one. We are all one, working for the greatest good of all mankind, to go back to the source with a much greater GPS system, being more in tune and able to know, well, okay, I learned from this. I won't do this again. I learned from this. This Earth Sister's a school. So I could go on and on. Thank you. I want to listen to everything that you have found out about Prince, because I swear this is just paralleling my life too much now. This is kind of scary. Thank God, sister. I'm listening. I love you, girl. You be on point.
I thank you for your testimony, because we all, I was listening to Know Thyself Radio last Sunday, and there was a woman on there talking about us getting to a place of whatever we've been through, knowing that it was for a divine purpose, and then coming to a consciousness or an awareness that what you went through is because your purpose is, and then finish the sentence.
Yes.
That whatever we do, whatever we go through, we need to come through not as victims, but realizing that it's all to help other people get through the journey with love, compassion, wisdom, and more understanding. So if you have a journey like you've had, and as you're learning, you had a purpose for all that suffering. All that suffering is to bring us to a place of understanding and wisdom, just like Prince. It's just no accident that, like you said, he was 5'2". That's a 7. All these things we can easily see when we look at the numbers. They just confirm that he had a divine assignment. Anybody on this earth who is as well known as he was has an assignment to wake us up. That's what I want people to get most of all in this broadcast today, is that these musicians, athletes, anyone who is known worldwide has a divine assignment. They didn't get popular on their own. They had help from the messengers, from the Al-Hahim, from the creator. There was a plan to bring this person. Prince, there was a plan. The creator told him, we're going to make you very popular. You're going to be known all over the earth. And then he lived that purpose. He lived that assignment. And so why would the creator want him to be known all over the earth? So that we can wake up from his journey if we take it to heart, as Ecclesiastes says, take it to heart. If you don't take it to heart, you're going to miss the lesson. And guess what? There's another one coming. The alarm clock's going to ring again. We keep hitting the snooze button like we deal with Michael Jackson and all these other celebrities that die and trying to wake us up. And we keep hitting the snooze button. Now here's Prince, another alarm trying to wake us up about high heels, about pharmaceuticals, about being popular, about wanting to make lots of money, to help other people, whatever the reason, you're going to pay a price and it could end up in the elevator, as he said.
Well, sister, if you go up on that contraption, I'm positive they'd be having everything on there. You could probably get his time of arrival, according to man, when he arrived on the planet. You know, in his Earth day and his going home, crossing over day, I don't have access to my book. It's at my spot. However, I think it's a 7 and it's a 9. And because Brother Kwame and I, we talked about this together, the numbers and everything. So if you go up there and see what time he came to the planet, that says a whole lot. And where he was on the astrological chart, but just the time tells you and the location in Minnesota. That's a very powerful place.
Yes. All this is very familiar to us who are conscious, and probably most of my listeners are conscious about reading numbers, understanding numbers. But I was having a conversation with a Christian woman who looks at numbers New Age stuff, and she doesn't believe in that. And then you look at things like I had an incident with a snake. Let me just mention about Christian or religious people, not just Christians. Anybody who's too religious, they're going to miss the message. Because I had a conversation about a snake I saw a few weeks ago. It was a beautiful snake, like dropped right out of heaven, because it just dropped right in front of my path, literally crossed the front of my path as I'm walking.
Transformation, sister. Transformation. What are you doing? You are transforming. You know, you are globally, soulfully transforming from the big mansion to the little teeny weeny house. And that's just, if that's not transformation, I don't know what else to do.
That's what I'm saying. The message from Prince was, being a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to be limited in your revelation and confirmation of the Creator's overstanding understanding, because religious thinking doesn't like to look at numbers and nature. I said to this woman, well, that snake was symbolic for me of transitioning from blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, we don't want to, I'm writing an article for this person, and we don't want to talk about snakes too much, because that's kind of like, that's new agey, and some people might get the wrong idea. And I'm like, I couldn't believe what I'm hearing in 2016, but this is from a religious person. Religion is one of the biggest messages that Prince is bringing to us. Because he talked openly about his belief in Jehovah's Witness, is that if you have a strong belief in religion, you're going to die early, possibly. It's like Dr. Amalu with the football arena. Dr. Amalu discovered CTE, chronic traumatic encephalitis, the brain disease. And he said in his book, he calls his book, Play Hard, Die Young. Play Hard, Die Young. This could be the title of Prince's life. Play Hard, he played that guitar really hard. He jumped off platforms with those high heels. He played hard. He partied hard. Oh, boy, did he party hard. And he gave us joy. He gave us music. He gave us inspiration. He gave us a lot of things. But he dies young. So that's kind of the message, whether it's in football or in the music industry. If you play hard, you're going to die young. If you play softly, walk through this world gently and softly, realizing what your purpose is, doing it with diligence and love, you might live to be 90 or 100 years old, like my dad. He played hard. He didn't even play hard for very long. He played in the NFL for a brief 5 years, I think, and then he went on to teach other youth about football, or teach them about life. So in Prince's case, he's demonstrated with his life what are the consequences of choices that we make, even following religious beliefs that are not listening to the body. You're not going to hear a preacher on Sunday talk about Revelations 18:23, that the pharmakeia is deceitful, because you can bet the preacher might be on a few drugs, for legal, of course. And that's the other interesting thing about Prince. The other thing about Prince, people always said he didn't take drugs. He didn't take any drugs. And then we're like, well, what's Percocet? What is Percocet, candy or something? But that was the belief. That's the deception of Revelations 18:23. As long as it's legal, as long as a medical doctor is prescribing it, it's really not something that goes against Revelations 18:23 that says you're deceived by pharmasorcery. We think that in our society, if the medical white coat doctor gives you a prescription, that it's okay. You don't have to really listen to your body. You can just take this pill and you'll be okay, until years later you realize that pill has not strengthened you, has not healed you, but it's just created more effects for your body to scream at you and say, I'm trying to get your attention. I need you to stop doing what you're doing and try something different.
Yes, yes, yes. Sister, this so is so powerful. Do you know this is extremely powerful? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you kind of coming in and out. Are you driving?
No, ma'am. I'm sitting here at the Capitol. Just taking
okay.
A siesta,
okay,
but there are a lot of planes going over because the airport is not too far from here. But, you know, when you hear in Guadalupe, you already know. Manny, he wasn't manning the sweat last night. It was somebody else because he's there at the nation's gathering in Albuquerque. That they have once a year, New Mexico. There are a lot of people battling with one addiction or the other, you know, and that's what the Sweat Lodge is about, is to get it out, get those demons, sweating those demons out to clear your mind, body, and spirit. You see, I was in another world yesterday because of what I agreed to put together in the school to teach me. And one major thing that I learned, it's another city out here, the homeless population of people. And I was reminded, that, hey, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is beneath you. And I saw things, sister, all kinds of people. And one major thing that I did understand yesterday, that this is not a black and white issue, and it's getting more and more prevalent. Major, how do you say it? Disruption is being created. We fall in this trap of this, racism. And what I saw yesterday and was a part of yesterday here in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, is racism is created to keep man from his true destiny, because we are all one people, and the sooner that we get off of this business of racial issues, black and white, and put L-O-V-E, love, around all of that, the quicker this planet is going to be able to heal from everything, drug addictions, everything, sister, and everything that we go through here on this planet. It creates all kind of things that you have to deal with, ending up, you think, having to take drugs because you do not have the love. It may appear that you have that love, ever you don't. You really don't, because you don't love yourself. You don't love yourself.
And that's kind of what you get from Prince, that with all the love he gave out to his fans and to others, I don't know that he loved himself. That's what
that's
I started
correct.
Thinking about. You bring up a good point, is that to do what he did took a lot of courage and perseverance and love for the music. And he just wanted love back. He really wanted, he was trying to get love from others by doing what he did. Because why else you put yourself through all that pain and love and wanting to help others? He had a big heart, it seems, to help others. So that's part of it. But why do you go through all that pain if you love yourself? That's the question we have to ask ourselves tonight. Did Prince teach us how to love ourselves? better? Because he loved enough to do what he did from the Creator. His love was really for his assignment. He had a powerful assignment to give us music. And I think anybody who's that creative with music has to be driven by the Most High to do what he did and endure the pain that he did. There has to be a driving, because we needed that music because of the war around us. War is all around us. That's what he says in that song, 1999. War is all around us. My mind says, prepare to fight. So his music helped us to deal with the war all around us. And we know all our lives, we've been hearing about rumors of even Marvin Gaye. When you listen to Marvin Gaye's message years ago, he was talking about war. Where are all the people? War, mercy, mercy me. That was the name of the song. Mercy, mercy me. Even back in the 70s, war, war, war. And so we have been given these fabulous musicians to help us deal with not just the war in other countries, the war on our streets, but the war in our very own minds. That goes against the love that we should have for ourselves, which is why tapping is so powerful. EFT, emotional freedom techniques, can really help people start to recognize that they're out of balance and deal with it by loving themselves more, loving yourself. Even though I have this issue of pain, even though I have this disease, I love myself unconditionally. That's where it starts. And I think that's what Prince showed all of us, that he did not have enough love for himself to stop the pain, other than with sorcery or with the help of pharmaceutical medical doctors. He didn't have enough love for himself. I think when you love yourself enough, you'll start searching, 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 searching for better answers to deal with your pain. We all have some kind of pain usually we're dealing with, but the more we start loving ourselves, the more we look for the answers. Because I know people are thinking, well, what is the solution when you have all that pain? What else could he do? What else could he do? Well, he did what he was supposed to do to wake us up. But for us, now we have to find the solutions to change our thinking, to change our words, because words are powerful and they create the pain sometimes. And we have to think about the choices that we make to what we put in our bodies that cause inflammation. What are we eating that's causing inflammation? And more than that, what's eating us that's causing inflammation? Because I can bet that Prince had a lot of stresses in his life that he had to deal with on a day-to-day basis that were contributing to his pain, not just the high heels and the performances that he had to do over and over again, but the stresses in life that the Jehovah's Witness did not teach him how to really deal with it, other than to say that Jesus is my Savior. And for some of us, we don't think that's the best solution, that Jesus is the Savior. That's a myth for many people. And we can't go outside of ourselves to find all the solutions. We have to go inside, and that's where meditation and taking inventory of your thoughts and the words that you're speaking and the relationships that we're in. Because that's what I'm sure Prince had to deal with that all the time, is the type of connections he had and the relationships he had. What about those things that were causing him pain? Because pain is not just physical. It's not just caused by external physical items. Yes, the high heels played a role. Yes, the hip problems played a role. But there are emotional things that we learn from our parents that cause us pain. There are behaviors that our parents teach us, and the relationships that we have that are harming us, abusive relationships that harm us from childhood, that we don't resolve and heal from, and those cause us pain. So until we start looking for things in our that are bringing inflammation to the temple of the Most High, this is the Creator's body vessel to be used for our assignment. So we all have an assignment. So we all need to come together every day on our own, meditating, seeking answers, calling, going to my website. You can always go to my website, www.yourholisticlifecoach.com, and contact me if you need help. But most of all, spending time and meditating by yourself and realizing what an awesome, awesome creation you are, and all the tools have been given to us on the inside. When we take inventory of why our environment, what's causing our pain in our environment, the relationships or our emotions or even the words that we speak. So
yes.
Even I think about even making a song, Let's Go Crazy. That's kind of crazy to even speak those words, but the words are even deeper than the title. So it pays. If you haven't ever listened to Prince's words, you really should go back and see how powerful these words were. They really seem like they were anointed for a generation to heal from the war mind and the war society that we've been living in. War on drugs, war against bacteria, antibiotics and more antibiotics. And all that war, he's saying, listen to your body. That's his message. If you're going to die, listen to your body tonight. That's what his message was, because war is everywhere around us. And we don't have to prepare to fight, but we have to prepare to listen and then take action of love for self first. And then loving others next. So I think Prince did a great job of loving us and giving us this beautiful music to dance with, sing with. But he maybe missed it on the loving self part and wisdom and taking on the wisdom of the creator instead of the wisdom of a religious institution. So I believe those are the messages we want to think about. And when we say goodbye to the physical Prince, but say hello to all the messages that he has brought us because of his life, because of his music, because of his dancing, because of his beauty. He was a beautiful man on the outside, especially. And we can look at how. Yeah.
I have a question. A little sparrow came and it added up to a 9. I do not have my book. Because I'm not back in my spot. Little sparrow came and listened as you were speaking. Little sparrow just was listening, Do you have your book with you? I'm curious. What does sparrow represent? Please.
The sparrow.
Mm-hmm. And it was flying.
It was what again?
It was 9 here, Arizona time. So whatever time it is there in Florida, 9 minutes after the hour, whatever the hour is now, it was that hour 09.
Okay, the sparrow?
No, I apologize. It's 6:03 that... Yeah, it's 6:03 that the sparrow came. So that means whatever hour it is, there, 9:03. Wow. So that would have been 9:03.
This is significant for the sparrow, and this comes for those who are not aware and those who are not religious, because religious people don't think animals speak to us. They think that snakes are evil and just like in the Bible, and that animals don't speak to us and we ought to kill them and eat them. A lot of them think that way. So I, for one, think all animals speak to us, especially when they show up at certain times of your life. Pay attention. So here's the sparrow. Keynote is awakening and triumph of common nobility. The sparrow has a chair of lords, many once through with the divinities, okay, the self-tenders. Its ability to multiply and assert itself in spite of predation reflects the idea
that nobility of the common person is inherently strong. For those who have a sparrow as a totem, look about you. Are you allowing others to take your dignity? Are you in your own self-worth? Interesting, that's what we're talking about tonight. Have you forgotten your own self-worth? Have you begun to think that you would always be under the heel of some tyrant, whether human or social? Ah, there it is, that war mind again. The sparrow will show you how to survive. It will awaken within you a new sense of dignity and self-worth. So helping you to triumph in spite of outer circumstances. So it is the assertion of will to bring out the inherent dignity so it can sing forth in your life. And there's the Dorothy Sullivan, so in the middle of the edge. This reflects a drawing down of energy to awaken the heart and the throat centers. So there you go. The message for us from the sparrow is to awaken within us a new sense of dignity and self-worth, helping you to triumph in spite of outer circumstances. Thank you, sister, for bringing the sparrow into the picture. Always, always good to have nature join with us in these messages from the Most High about the life and the transition of people we've known. Very grateful for that awakening to the sparrow to help us remember our self-worth and to triumph in spite of our circumstances.
Yes, they've been around me a lot, and just as you were speaking, it was, 6:03? Again, I mean, no, 6:03, 9.
No. Okay, well, you're in a different part of the earth.
It added up to a 9. I'm thinking to myself, okay, it is 6. 6 and 3 is 9, right?
Right.
Okay. I haven't had any sleep, sister. And so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then what time is it there in Florida?
It's 9:12 here.
Okay, so that meant it came at 9:03. So...
Mm-hmm.
Is part of Prince Well, wake awakening, and oh, sister, so that tells me that he is communicating. And see, let me say this, sister. It doesn't matter what people think. I get ridiculed all of the time. However, if you go up on my Facebook page, you're gonna see some of those same people who talk junk. They're coming on board because they had to come to a level of overstanding, not to get all bent out of shape because it takes too much energy. I'm really learning this out here in Arizona. It's hot. The people are crazy. Let's go crazy. They do. And I'm learning how crucial it is to be for me and my body makeup and my vibration, how important it is to be in that nature in North Carolina or Virginia, especially Virginia. You know, and I can go to the mountains here, Flagstaff and Sholo and Pine Top and all. It doesn't resonate with me like it does there. And here it's different. And the people are consumed with so much anger, sister. Even if they're doing well, of the lack of understanding some things, but that's all right because we were at a time and point. Hey, we didn't know these things. We didn't look at these things either. So everybody has their own point in time to come to a realization. And it's all good. If that person that you're speaking about, you know, about the snake, it's all good. Just take a chill pill. Somebody else,
will be in the wings and say, you know, I was listening to what you're saying, and I need to know more because, you know, I saw a snake roll over my foot or cross my driveway or whatever. So you have to just know that everything is in divine order, and I'm talking to me too, period. It's all
thank
good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank us, because you're so right, because Prince is is proof of that. We can all look at his life, and then we can look at the numbers, and then we can look at the scriptures and say, what is all this saying to us that this man was so popular? And then when he died, we stop and listen and look and wonder, what does it all mean? And this is only part of what it means. Tonight's broadcast is about a few insightful spiritual lessons in the transition of Prince, the musician, the man, the beautiful soul that came to help us wake up from religion and love ourselves more and learn more about nature and numbers and all the things that teach us how to let go of the things that are not helping us to be strong and empowered and to fulfill our mission. Prince fulfilled his mission, his assignment. People might say, well, he died too young. Not when you look at the numbers and the lessons that he's teaching us. These lessons are very, very relevant for today as we transition from too much stuff and material things for the carbon fingerprint or footprint of the earth. We have to change what we're doing. The oceans are polluted. The land is polluted. It's time for us to wake up and make different choices if we're going to survive. This is all about survival now. And that's why people like Prince will be leaving us to help us survive. He sacrificed his life to help us survive if we get the messages and wake up. If we miss the messages, then they're going to keep coming either way. I think we're still going to get more messages. People are going to die or transition because we need these wake-up calls. People have fallen asleep. Sleep. Too many people are sleeping. And all around us, the adversary and people who want to destroy seem to be having victory. But it's times like this when Prince leaves the earth that we wake up and start making different choices, loving ourselves more, letting go of religious beliefs that are limiting our empowerment and our truth in the earth, and changing our hair, our clothing, our high heels, and taking off the high heels, ladies. It's time to take the high heels off.
I'm serious. I look back on my life. I'm like, what in the world? You will not catch me trying to trip, and not now. Oh no! Yeah, that created a whole challenge for that brother. No, he had to go. We had to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm still
and
here.
And there's a whole history. You know, there's a whole history on high heels. Who created them? And you know what? Where they're from? It was actually men in Europe who were wearing high heels first. They had these kings and princesses wearing these high heels first, and then they saw profit in this by advertising and promoting them to women. And so now we have the most ridiculous shoes I've ever seen. And I'm only 61, but we've been through a lot of styles in shoes. And these 4-inch heels that some of these women, when I see these women walking in these high heels, I just shake my head. And now we can think about Prince. When we see women in high heels, think Prince. Hip problems, pain, death, early death. Play hard, die young. You play hard with those high heels, you're going to have some pain in your hip. I remember a lady my mother used to go out with. She used to party with her. And she would come over to the house in her 3-inch heels and dance in the mirror and prance, and she thought she was the sweetest, the prettiest thing on the earth. And then at my mother's funeral, she came to my mother's funeral with flat ballet shoes on, and she said she had had 3 surgeries on her feet. I think 2 or 3 surgeries on her feet since we had last seen her. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I immediately thought, those high heels, she wore those high heels all the time. and then had to have surgery on her feet. So that's where the pharmacy or the sorcery comes in, that we are deceived by pharmacia, because we think there's a solution in the medical system. We can have surgery, cut off the breast, cut this off, cut out the gallbladder, cut out this, cut that out. It doesn't matter. Just live your life the way you want, and then we'll just cut it out and give you another part, and then you don't you realize there are circumstances or consequences for even doing that. You're going to be in pain for the rest of your life. So grateful tonight for where I am in the process of letting go, downsizing. There's more to come. I'm just at the beginning, I see. And letting go of all the things that are not serving me to fulfill my purpose and to help others, and most important, to love myself. It's hard to love yourself when your mind is cluttered with your stuff that you have to take care of, because that's what one of the realizations I have living in this small space now is I have less to take care of now. When you have a bigger space, more stuff, you got to wash more clothes, you got to wash the house, you got to take care of more of your stuff when you have bigger space and more stuff. So I still have things I have to let go of because it's too much right now in this little space. But I'm looking forward to the journey so I can help others, because I'm a pioneer just like my dad. And many of us who are pioneers, we realize that it starts with loving ourselves first. Can love and help others. You can't really help others if you're not loving yourself and caring for others at the same time. They go together. Loving self and caring for others, they go together.
Yes.
So if you have any questions, anyone have questions, hit number one on your phone, and we'll be glad to take your comment or your question. But go ahead, sister.
Yes, this has been so informative, sister, just like right on target. I'll tell you, I gotta commend you, because you always come up with to the point. At least it resonates in my journey, you know. And after being out and about in the truck and sleeping in the truck and seeing how this homeless world here deals with certain things, it just makes me all the more want to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm doing what I need to do to work on it a little bit at a time, because it's necessary. You get lessons all the time about de-junking. And downsizing all the time. We just don't pay attention. And we must pay attention, period.
That's right. So thank you all for listening tonight. Did you have any final words?
Sister, I will see you in the house Wednesday. And I'm just continuing my journey. I'm planning on spending a night with a beautiful, beautiful sister that I met in the shelter. It's very interesting how things are unfolding out here on my journey in Arizona. So it's a lot of things that we may judge because of lack of knowledge. And I'm learning. And I'm asking everyone, do your best to love and not be so judgmental, people. Do your best. Not easy with some of us because of how we came to the planet and our purpose. However, that's what it's all about, our lessons. We must learn those lessons well, because if we don't, we're going to come back to do them again. And when my mama and all of her alcohol would have these particular conversations with me, I was like, Mama, you've had too much to drink. And unfortunately, I didn't listen to things because of circumstances I was in and having to deal with the issues of my parents, the issues of my. So we'll talk more about this Wednesday. Sister, I'm just very grateful, abundantly grateful for you and your purpose in this life, Sister Viata.
And be sure and listen to your body, sister. When it says rest, stop and rest. Don't push yourself.
I know.
All right. Love you. Love us. And thank you for listening. Thank everyone for calling in, listening. And for all of you listening in the archives, may you be blessed to take the lesson from Prince. Listen to your body tonight. Don't be consumed with the war mind all around us, but he said, listen to your body tonight. So thank you all. And here's a message from Becca Shea, heartbeat. We want to all get the same heartbeat and listen to our Creator's heartbeat. All of you have a good week. We'll be back here Tuesday with Crow Voices and Wednesday with Rainbow Coalition for Rock Medicine Women. Join us at 8 o'clock, same time, same station. Aho and
Delay.